for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Yeah. Ben Stein coming in tonight. The great Ben Stein from, of course, Win Ben Stein's Money.
Did you talk to our buddy Bobcat Goldthwait today at all?
Yes, I did.
And what was his excuse?
He forgot.
Okay. Oh, good times.
He got confused.
About?
I don't know.
Forgetting?
I talked to Bobcat at Jimmy's show yesterday about 4 or 5 in the afternoon, and I said, are you coming in tonight? And he said, yeah, either me or Jimmy's coming in tonight, or both of us. And I said, well, I'll see you then. And he forgot.
I think sometimes when he does too much of that voice, he starts acting like that guy. You know what I mean?
Everyone's turning on Bobcat.
No. He's
good people, that Bobcat is.
Absolutely. I'm disappointed we didn't see him last night.
All right. Well, we'll see him soon. No. Yeah. And then he said, am I coming in tonight? And I said, nope. That ship sailed, buddy. We got Ben Stein coming in from Win Jimmy Kimmel's Money. And he's also a judge on Star Search. And let me say this. I judged on Star Search. Yeah, I did a little guest appearance.
Seems like Ben doesn't was asked back.
No, Ben accepted the gig.
I see.
He does it full time. I was offered the gig. Here's the deal. There's a lot of stuff in this business where they talk about this and that's going to ruin your career.
This is one of those things?
This is one of those things because you'll perpetually be a judge. But let me tell you what being a judge means. And let me tell you if this sounds like a bad career to anybody we're listening to. Anyone's listening to us. The show is live. The Star Search.
Live. So you sit down, cameras go on.
It's 1 hour long. Starts at, I don't know, 6 in the evening out here. Maybe 7 in the evening. Mm-hmm. Goes for 1 hour. And I don't care if Arsenio Hall is lynched, catches on fire, is raped with a mop handle. It's still over in an hour. Still over. All these things, by the way, I would give him a high score for if I was judging.
If you saw that happen to him?
Yeah. Okay. Now, here's what you do. You sit there, and you just put a puss on while some 9-year-old black chick sings her ass off right for you, to you. Or some other kid is tap dancing, or there's some acrobatic team from China or something. They're going nuts. And then at the end, and they tell you before, you only got about 2 seconds. That's all you got to do. So they get to you, and you go, it was good. It wasn't great. I give it a 4. And everyone starts applauding, right? Hour goes by in the blink of an eye because everyone's just dancing their ass off in front of you.
You speak 4 times.
You speak 4 times for a combined total of 17 and a half seconds. And at the end of it, a guy gives you $10,000 and says, can you please come back and do more?
And
you go, yeah. And a gift basket, the windbreaker and a candle. Oh. And you go, I don't know if I want to ruin my career. You may not have to get 10 grand a day for working an hour. And it's not just an hour. It's an hour and 20 minutes because you got to get the makeup
on.
20
minutes, yeah.
And I get my own trailer and everything. I mean, hell.
Where does it film?
Films up the street. Films
CBS?
At the Hollywood Center Studio where we used to do Loveline and the Man Show.
Where you know every security guard, every parking place.
Drive on, park in my own space.
Oh, my God.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We should all have our careers ruined that way, by the way. And this is the only business, by the way, where people go like, sure, you'll be rich for not working. But you'll be ruined. Your career will be ruined. Like, is there any other career where someone is going to give you 10 grand for about an hour's worth of work and offer that gig to you where you just sit there and get pampered, have someone put makeup on you and get you Perrier, they give you 10 grand. It's like, yeah, you're ruined, buddy. Ruined? That's my kind of ruining. That's the gig I want. I want to judge.
Yeah.
I want to judge. I'm going to talk to Ben about doing that. All right. So,
wait, but you turned it down.
I turned it down because I was doing the ABC thing.
All right.
But great. Soon. Yeah. Here's the thing about judge, too. I look at judging as a nice hammock under a shady tree that's waiting for me.
Sure.
Just waiting. I'd like to ride out.
Climb in any time.
Climb in somewhere in my 40s and lean back and just spend 20 years judging. Eventually, put on a ton of weight, start wearing a turtleneck and one of those fat guy Dom DeLuise hats and grow a big beard.
I start laughing at everything.
And laugh maniacally at everything because I'm really high on prescription meds.
Or you could be Orson Bean. You could become just very erudite, wear white button-down shirts.
Yes, I'll start speaking with an affect, like an English affect, and wear like a dickie or possibly an ascot and a navy blazer.
There you go.
Either way, I'll still have the fat guy hat, though, because it'll be like a signature thing. I'll start doing a thing where I start carrying a cane or something. There's something that's sort of some affectation that I carry around. I'm going to work on this, Drew, and then I'm just going to coast through life. And here's the thing, too. Once you establish yourself as one of those guys, one of those old game show guys from the 70s, you can wear the same outfit every day. No one says anything. You have to. It becomes like a bad superhero
outfit. It's your uniform.
Yeah, it's your uniform. It's your uniform.
Family Guy did something tonight that was one of your bits. I don't know what it was now.
All right. Elliot?
Hey.
You're 18?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Well, I just want to say I've been a fan of the show for a while. I've been listening to the tune of 5 years.
Wow. Oh. Work to the tune of it.
Yes, I did.
Nice.
All right. So my question is, I would like
Hold on. I just thought of one of the, you know, I got that big long list of things that I want to do before I die.
Yeah.
Having my hands registered as weapons, diving into a body of water with a knife in my mouth, that kind of stuff. Having a cape removed from me.
Yes, yes.
You know the one more thing I decided today? I want somebody in my group, after I greet a group of reporters and say, hello, yes, I'm good. And then they all start shouting questions.
There'll be no more questions.
Yes, somebody yells, thank you, thank you. No more questions.
No more questions.
As I walk away. I don't say no more questions. Yeah. Someone in my entourage yells no more questions as I walk away. I'll work on that, too. Maybe the same guy removes my cape. Elliot?
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead, buddy.
Oh, it's all good. I want to know if there have been any recent developments with the male birth control, and if you guys think, if there was, if people would really take it.
What made you ask this question?
Well, I'm doing a speech on this in my communications class. I'm going to Cal State Long Beach.
I strangely did a piece on this for CNN tonight.
Nice.
There was this new study out of Australia where they proved the contraceptive efficacy over a couple of years of a combination shot of progesterone and little testosterone pellets like a
boring bit
that they put under the skin of the men. And so they get enough testosterone and they shut them down with the progesterone. Mm-hmm. And this.
Wait a minute. They use the progesterone
shuts the pituitary.
The progesterone is the female.
It's a female hormone that has.
But it's not estrogen.
It's progesterone. Different.
Okay, but let's get something straight.
Yeah.
Testosterone, male hormone.
Yep.
Estrogen, female hormone.
Progesterone, female hormone.
Progesterone, female. Does male have a second hormone?
We have adrenal hormones that have androgenic activity.
But they have two big ones.
DHEA.
They have estrogen and progesterone.
We have one big one.
We have one big one.
Yes.
I got one medium one. Medium to small one. Okay, go ahead. So they give you the progesterone to shut down the sperm.
Right. And then, but that also shuts the testosterone down.
Right.
So they give you testosterone back.
But doesn't the testosterone
re-stimulate the sperm production?
Yes.
No, it probably even suppresses it more.
Really?
Yeah. The thing, and this particular, the idea is ultimately there'll be a shot that a guy takes every 3 or 4 months. And in this particular pill, it actually increased their sex drive.
Wow.
Yeah. So we're thinking, Well,
it increased it because they
were overshooting probably in the amount they were giving them.
No, I mean, because they were on the birth control, it was like a car or a movie or something that was going to get returned. Like they did the work. They wanted to use it. Like when I rent porn, I beat off twice as much because it costs money.
Probably actually is just too much testosterone around.
So if I beat off once, the one time cost me $6. But if I beat off like 70 times, it's like 3 cents a piece.
That's nice.
You see what Elliot, you know what I'm saying?
Genius at math.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But Elliot,
yeah.
I bring that up because that seemed to motivate the guys to use it. Although, I got to admit, the thing I brought up is I've been working with Trojan for a while to try to get them to find ways to get guys to use condoms and practice safe sex. And it's almost impossible, A, to get guys to cooperate with that. B, get a guy into a doctor every 3 months. In what world is that going to happen? And that's the other part.
And then C, guys are just going to be taking, Band-Aids and cutting them into weird shapes and sticking them on their arms
saying, I'm covered.
Eating a Pez in front of a chick going, oh, yeah, baby, you're safe with me.
That concerns me, too. However, you know, we could raise a new generation to be used to this kind of thing and to be more responsible. We've certainly put the burden squarely on women. To the extent where it's kind of shocking because I was reading the side effects and going, no, guys will never do this. And I thought, think about the women put up with these pills.
I know.
They're gaining weight, they're moody, their periods all over the place.
Now, here's the ironic thing. The only guys you're going to get to take those pills are the gays who don't need them. Do you know what I'm saying?
I think
gay guy
I do.
Would be very sympathetic and do that.
Yeah.
Straight guy don't want to do
He'd
that.
Be responsible.
It's sympathetically responsible.
It's like with recycling.
Right. Gays recycle.
Yeah.
Let's face it.
Good times.
Mm-hmm. You ready to keep rolling here?
Yeah, uh-huh.
One day I'll tell you the group that doesn't recycle the most.
Who?
I can't say it. It's too racist. Starts with an M.
I'm online.
Yeah. With an N.
You are.
Can't do it. I can't do it. I work with them all day. I beg them to do it. Yeah. That's all I'm going to say. If I beg them, they can't do it. Tyler?
Yep.
You're 18?
Yep.
What's up?
Well, I'm dating the girl who I'm best friends with her brother.
All right. I'm annoyed. The connection's bad. Tyler's bad. The phone's cutting out. Tyler, hang on until I get more patience. Bill?
Yeah.
You're 17?
Mm-hmm.
What's up?
Well, I'm kind of...
Oh, boy.
All right.
Yeah, yeah.
This is my new policy.
Yeah.
Jason?
Yeah, how's it going?
Good. You're 21. What's your question?
My question is for Dr. Drew. I just want to say long-time listener, first-time caller. I'm kind of going bald on top of my head here, and I want to know the actual long-term effects of Rogaine, if there's any side effects that might have on my actual hair if I stop using it.
If you stop using it, the hair will probably fall out again.
Okay, so that means if I start using it, I have to use it for the rest of my life?
You have to keep using it. Yeah, Propecia is the other thing you can do.
Wait a minute. But stopping using the Rogaine doesn't make your hair fall out. It just goes back to where you were.
Yeah, it's not as though it instantly falls out the day you stop using the Rogaine.
No, but I mean, it's not like the Rogaine even had anything to do with it.
Right.
Right. Okay, now, so you think Propecia is a better alternative now, or is there any, like, herbal remedies that I could use?
They say to use the Rogaine and the Propecia in concert with each other.
If you really want to get some effect. Believe me, look, if there were easy, natural ways to do it, people would know about it, right? It would not be a secret.
Right.
It would not be a secret.
Yeah, Propecia and Rogaine evidently is the thing to do. And they're making pretty good strides in the transplant program.
Yep.
I think.
Yep, they are.
And it's one of those things where everyone pictures hair plugs as hair plugs.
Mm-mm. Right,
it's
right,
also,
yeah.
It's also one of those things where you don't know if a guy had a good job or not. And I would bet you that many celebrities who you don't know, I mean, like I said, if you got a couple of bucks to spend on it and you can afford to take a month off and go to Arizona and convalesce over there, nobody knows, you're good.
I mean, it's not really relevant to see it right now, but I can tell that it's starting to become a problem, and I wanted to just know if there was going to be any preventative measures I could actually do.
Now's the time to use the Rogaine and use it regularly, and that's exactly the kind of balding that it does a good job on, so...
I wonder, what do you think is around the corner from a technological standpoint, Drew?
Another, just a stronger version of the same thing, basically, with no side effects.
Mm-hmm. Then I was thinking about a couple things we seem to be ahead of, a couple things we seem to be behind on. Like getting rid of rats and roaches and bugs and stuff.
Behind?
Yeah, seems like in hair stuff for men. You know, guys, I mean, I know it sounds cliche, but we have been on the moon for 30-something years now. The whole hair thing, just starting to get a handle on it. Starting to get a handle on it. And there's stuff that just seems like taller orders that we're done with, you know?
You know, think about this, though. Think how big a deal the hair loss thing was in the 70s, when the hair was everything.
Right.
Yeah, everyone shaves their head.
Well, everyone shaves their head because no one's figured a good thing out, though.
But if you're losing your hair today, it's...
Yeah.
So why?
Well... I know, but like I said, I think a lot of it was just based on people not being able to do anything about it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, here's the other thing I want. You know the sonic things that are supposed to get rid of rats and roaches and bugs?
You want them to work?
I want them to work.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah. I mean, you see the drawing on the box, like when you're on the plane and you're looking at the Sky Mall pamphlet and you're looking in there. And the gopher's like holding his ears and running for your neighbor's yard, like sprinting. Crazy. Anderson, make the cartoon running sound, because that's that crazy can with the corn in it. That's the sound it's making.
The rat with corn in it?
Well, I don't know what it is. No, there's another one that has it's a crazier sound than that. It sounds like a drum with an acorn in it.
Wow.
You got that, Anderson?
Sorry.
He's looking. Oh.
No.
He's got the paddles.
Okay, the paddles. The point is, we can't work that out.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. You plug a few of those in the house, spiders, roaches, ants, everything's just running the other way.
I like when they just turn upside down.
Yeah.
That's the picture I like.
And those big X's for eyes. I didn't know how the X for eyes thing worked, but all right, let's keep on keeping on here, Drew. John?
John, yeah. Hello.
We got a guy from Boston in the background?
Yeah, we do, unfortunately.
He doesn't care.
That's cool, though. Red Sox, right?
Who's the guy in the background?
My sweet mate.
Oh, well, that's good.
Hey, remember, we didn't talk to the screeners, but ironically, we're sort of looking out for it. We were talking to producer Ann before we went on the air tonight, and I was saying, I don't care what kind of questions we get. I'm just tired of jack-offs calling this show. Listen, screeners, listen to me for a second. If there's 19 guys in the background, and you got some jack-off screaming, and it's noisy, or the line is bad, or the guy... or there's a good five-second count in between him answering the question you asked and the next word that comes out of his mouth, don't take the call. I don't care what the question is. I don't care if he's pregnant and on fire and about to give birth to an ass baby. I don't want to talk to him.
Ass baby?
I don't want to talk to anyone where there's a whole bunch of crap going on in the background, where the guy's drunk, where the guy's cussing, where the guy can't form a sentence. I don't want any more of these. Drew, I'll be the caller.
Yeah.
Go ahead. You start.
Adam, I can't tell how old he is. He's from North Carolina.
Hello?
What's up, Adam? What's your question?
Love line?
Yeah. Hey, what's your question?
I got a question for Drew.
Whatever. Go ahead. What's the question?
Drew?
Mm-hmm.
I'm 17.
This is where I put you on hold.
Yeah.
Boom.
Don't want that guy, screeners. They got to be fast. They got to put it together. We got to move here. I got a new policy.
Move your ass.
Shake your ass.
That's right. Okay.
Shake your ass. Tori?
Oh, hey. What's up, you guys? I'm a first-time caller. Thanks. I just want to know, why I'm a sex fiend.
Yeah, this is what I'm talking about.
No, I've had...
14.
I'm really horny. I've had sex about 150 times.
14.
150 times.
Well, how old? 147.
I beg your pardon.
How many different guys?
Three.
Three.
How old were you when it all started?
11.
Yeah.
How old was that guy?
He was only 13.
Really?
Wow. And were you ever molested, raped, abused?
No, actually I wasn't. I had a pretty good life.
Pretty good. Where's your dad?
Actually, I'm living with him right now.
Where's your mom?
In California.
Why is she not in your life?
I don't. They got a divorce and they separated and stuff.
How old were you when that happened?
About 4.
And why didn't you live with her?
She just gave us up. She thought that she wasn't going to be responsible enough.
Yeah.
Does that make for a good life? A mother that abandons her kids?
Well, I have a stepmom.
How's she?
Right now. She's still sort of my stepmom, just they haven't got a divorce yet.
So he's leaving this woman too. How was she?
She's really good. I consider her my actual mom because she's raised me most of my life.
Which is great. However, the bond you had with your first mother, the separation, it has a huge impact on you.
Uh-huh.
Huge.
Yeah. Now, normally young girls who are sort of acting out have issues with dad, but it's probably worse what went on with your mom.
Yeah.
Truth be told.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you want to slow it down a little bit, Tori?
The problem, I having it. I don't know how to stop it.
Yeah, you could just keep your legs together and not do it so much.
About seeing a therapist or seeing somebody that's, it's obviously starting to bother you, and eventually it will bother you a lot.
Yeah.
You're looking for solutions. You're solving problems from your past by means that are ultimately not going to work for very long.
Okay.
And do you any history of bipolar illness in the family, manic depression?
No. Well, my brother, he went through a depression time because, he was really connected to our mom, and he was, 9 years old when they separated. Mm. And so he got, anxiety, I don't know. It was, Yeah.
What was up with her that she left? What was her problem?
They just always got fights and drugs.
Yeah. Like, drugs.
She was a drug addict.
So. I'm not able to take care of you means I'm just more into drugs than I am into your kids.
Okay. Yeah.
That's what that is. All right, so that's a horrible thing to happen
to
a 4-year-old with mommy.
Do you do drugs?
Actually, I've only tried pot 2 times, but I never really got high.
Careful.
Yeah. All right, so be careful. You have a boyfriend right now?
Yeah.
How come you're having sex with 2 other guys?
No,
well, no
I
that
did
was before.
Yeah.
How old is your boyfriend now?
14. Mm.
That son of a bitch.
He's my age.
You guys using protection?
Yeah.
What are you using?
Condoms, and my friend went to Planned Parenthood for me. She's 15 though, and like she got me like all this stuff.
What?
Like birth control and stuff.
You're taking somebody else's birth control?
Well, like, because I can't go in without my parents knowing.
Why?
I don't know. I just heard it. That,
I
like,
believe you can at 14.
Check it out. I don't think they're going to call.
I believe
or do
at 14
anything.
You can.
Okay.
But look, you're taking somebody else's medicine. What pill are you taking?
Oh, crap. I haven't seen it for a while.
You haven't seen it for a while, so you're not taking it?
Well, yeah. Yes,
all right.
Tori.
Yeah.
A little therapy would be nice, but certainly just slowing down on the sex would be would be better.
Yeah.
It feels like you're trying to fill some sort of hole, pardon the graphic pun, that has no bottom on it.
That's what that is.
And just feels good, but it does feel good when the dirt is being shoveled in. Mm-hmm. It's just you have to constantly shovel. Mm-hmm. Eventually your back wears out because mm-hmm. you're on it. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ. God knows what I would have done if I had that chance.
If you had a vagina?
Oh,
my God.
Yeah.
It would have been like... I see a picture of you in that reconstruction manual.
Yeah,
not because you were switching over, just repair what you did to it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I was depressed and miserable and had a crappy childhood and a crappy family and all that stuff when I was young too. But if chicks started knocking on my door, like, you know, if I was 11, 12, 13 years old and it was like a knock on the door and some hot 15-year-old chick who wanted to party, yeah. And then, you know, then her friend wanted to party, too. And as I got older, 12, 13, 14, it's like, hey, more parties, more chicks, more attention.
It'll be even more satisfying because the guy would make it, he would say anything you wanted and make you feel wanted and loved.
You think I'm beautiful?
Yeah.
You like my Brillo head? Really? Wine coolers. Thank you. What do I owe you?
You pay such attention
on the house.
No one's ever paid attention like this.
You're going to buy me a 40-ouncer beer? That's great. All right. You got a moped. Oh, well, let's go.
You'd be a celebrity.
That's what that is. Oh. Now.
Cervical celebrity.
No, that wasn't the case at all. Meanwhile, my wife was listening to the show last night for some inexplicable reason when Kimmel was on here talking about me cramping in the shower. It was great. She hit me with that before I left today.
What did she say?
Is it true? And Bobcat brought it up too. Is it true you crapped in the shower and mashed it down with your heel? And you know, I like my. Here's how you can tell when I'm lying. When I give one of these answers, I don't know about that.
That's not even lying. That's you temporizing. That's my heel. That's what that is.
Yeah.
Huh?
My heel.
I thought you'd answer. No, my toes. My toes.
Yeah. It's the kind of lie that they do, you know, when they bust the guy at the transmission shop for, you know, once in a while, 2020, or Dateline sends some elderly couple in a motorhome that's all rigged up with cameras into some podunk town to have their transmission fluid replaced.
Right.
And they get footage of the guy whacking it with a claw into the hammer.
Right.
And then John Stossel goes in there 2 days later and goes, is it true you fixed this car? And the guy shows him the receipt. And, yeah, it needed a new transmission. And he goes, I'd like to show you something. And they open that little clamshell monitor, and the guy watches video of him taking a hammer to the old guy's transmission, and then he looks up and he looks down and he just goes, I don't know about that. That just always means there's really no response. They never give in. They should give in. They never do. It's just I don't know about that. Sort of like the dog from...
Did she mention the dude
Davey,
he left?
Davey and Goliath.
That's right. I don't know Davey.
I don't know Davey.
Did she mention the Duke you left to welcome her home?
She did.
She brought that up to
you? Next thing out of her mouth. That's why my delay of flesh is going to work great for the guys who like to talk. For the man on the go, on the pot, likes to talk on the phone and Duke at the same time. Ben Stein coming in here in just a couple of few. He's doing Jimmy Kimmel's show tonight. Wonder how they booked him. That's a good booking.
Anderson...
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, yo, Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Ben Stein going to be in here in just a couple of few.
Ben put a very kind comment on my book, you know.
He did?
Yeah. I know my book is sitting there waiting to be read by you, and you've read the cover several times.
Let me see. I got Drew's book right here.
That's Ben's book.
It says, "This book does not suck." Wow. Nice. That's quite a compliment. Ben is going to be in here. He's got a book to plug. You can buy Ben's book and Drew's book. I'm proud to say I've almost never read a book. That's what keeps me so sharp. That's how I keep my edge, Drew. Uh-huh. And I do appreciate, or I'm always amused how stupid people think I'm stupid because I never went to college and never read a book. I guarantee I'm smarter than all you put together. Thank you. If we were on an island somewhere, you would want me on that island with you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Drew. I'd build us a lean-to.
Think of
and I'm
the
kind
of
guy
Forget you
I can
Jimmy.
Crap about anywhere.
And
you know
big,
what I mean?
Big.
And big.
As I found out last night.
We can lash them together.
But
make like a raft. Like a S
Get
raft.
Off this damn island.
That's right.
But, you know, I could take care of your medical needs. You could build a house.
Drew, we could start a family.
Oh.
We could try at least. We got to get on an island.
Think about it.
Jenny?
Yeah?
And, Drew, you don't need no TV set with me. I never stop talking.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes, I've had a few tastes of that.
Go ahead, Jenny. What's up?
You're 21. We get to watch
the movies am I on?
On an airplane if we're together on a plane. Can't watch the film.
Hello?
No. What's up, baby doll?
Oh, okay. I actually had a question. I know it's going to sound really stupid, but I had this friend who said that this one girl, I know it's like through the grapevine, said that she had gotten pregnant by one guy. And then she got pregnant by two guys. Is that actually possible for a human female to actually get pregnant by two different guys?
At the same time?
No, like, okay, she got pregnant by one guy, and then she says, oh, yeah, I'm pregnant. And then she goes have sex with another guy, and then she somehow has another baby. And so they say...
All right, hold on. When I said at the same time, I didn't mean both dorks were in her simultaneously. I meant she's somehow carrying two.
Yeah. Well, hang on a second.
I'm not sure what her question
let's
is.
Let's keep going.
All right, but let me just do this. Obviously, you can get pregnant by two different people if it's 9 months apart
right.
or so.
Right.
So that she's not asking.
Right.
She's asking, could you have twins and one be?
Yeah, but the way she's asking it, it sounds like I'm 3 months pregnant. And then I'll start another pregnancy 3 months into this one.
Jenny?
How did she know she was pregnant in the first place?
Apparently she went to a doctor and said that she was pregnant.
All right, ask us your question again.
Okay. Can you be pregnant by two different guys? Have twins?
Have twins. That's what I said. Well, one is one guy's baby and the other is the other guy's baby.
Yeah.
No.
Is that possible for a human?
I guess there's a technical possibility if it just happened that there were two eggs released and you had sex with two guys within 2 days of one another.
Really?
But you wouldn't know you were pregnant. You'd get pregnant simultaneously with both. But I've never heard of such a thing.
See, that's what I was saying. Well, that's not possible.
Once you are pregnant, there are no more eggs released. That's it. That's it. It's over.
That's it.
Okay.
See, now that's what I was saying. And she And I thought...
All right. What do you care? What do you care?
Because I heard that cats can get pregnant by other... cats can be pregnant by more than one male cat.
That's right. True. And alligators lay eggs and bury them on the banks of the Mississippi.
Oh, great. Thanks.
All right. So what do you want?
I just want to know.
You heard that?
You heard that?
I thought that was
that's what I heard.
Stupid.
You heard that a woman could bury her eggs and give birth?
No, I just heard an alligator.
A man like you would come by and rain some semen on the eggs?
Just heard that's what alligators do and didn't any way correlate that to human beings.
Of course.
Just like you shouldn't have done that with cats.
Yeah.
But let me ask you this, Jenny.
What?
Junior college or food industry?
Oh, great. You're saying I'm stupid.
No, I'm just curious.
Yeah, I'm in junior college.
Hold on a second. Shocking! I am shocked! All right. Junior college and waitress? What do you do? What's your? Do you have a part-time job?
I have a full-time job.
Full-time job.
What do you do? What do you do for work?
I'm a waitress.
Mm-hmm. No sort of amazement that Adam picked both those things out of the blue?
Huh?
Okay.
All right. There's nothing more gratifying than this gem. No more gratifying thing than talking to stupid people.
Wow.
Let me explain something about stupid people. Stupid people are not impressed unless they watch magic. Because when stupid people watch magic, they believe that that's actually happening, actually sawing people in half and stuff. When you talk to a person who you've never spoken to before, the only thing on the screen says she's from Visalia. And she wanted to know if two people could get pregnant once. Says nothing about what she does.
By the way, I don't think of Visalia as a place having a junior college or a restaurant, for that matter.
No.
You know what I mean?
No, everyone in Visalia has a sack lunch.
That's, yeah.
If they want to eat, you have to go across the border.
The river, yeah.
You have to go across the river. Here's the point. I just said junior college and food service. Basically,
that's
waitress.
That's her life. You described her life without knowing her, and she didn't...
Didn't
find that to be interesting. Not even interesting, let alone amazed, but not interesting.
No, but that's what... Well,
that was Ben Stein, and now there he goes.
Yeah. Here's the thing. When you're stupid, you're like a kid in that you think people should know what's going on with you.
It's a grandiosity, yeah.
Stupidity meets grandiosity. Yeah, it's what kids. When a 9-year-old comes home, he starts talking about Tommy. He doesn't say, my friend from school, Tommy. He just says, Tommy says, and then you say, who? Right. And here comes Ben Stein, everybody. He's got a suit. I'm guessing he's wearing a pair of Vans.
Yeah, they're simples.
He's, what do you got?
They're simples.
What are simples?
Simples are very wonderful, lightweight, very comfortable.
Yeah, he's getting shoes. On his mic.
Shoes.
They are.
Yeah.
Let me see
how
those things. I'm doing well. I'm sorry to make such a thing about shoes. Oh, I always thought those were fans.
No.
See, Ben is smart. Ben is doing exactly what I was talking about doing, minus the Dom DeLuise fat guy hat, which is I said that this judging is something I want to get into later in life, that this is like a hammock.
You didn't say later in life. You said any time now.
No, down the road.
Down the road. Right.
Down the road. This is not too far down the road. I said this, you being a judge on Star Search,
it's a very good job.
I say it's like a hammock under a shady tree just on a hillside that I'm moving towards slowly.
It is a very good job. I don't think I've ever had a better job.
Nothing easier, right?
It's extremely easy.
Yeah. Cause
it's wonderful.
It's the greatest gig in the world because you get paid to talk.
But you don't talk.
But the producer tells you he's short on time. He's going to have to keep it real short. You got about 5 seconds.
Right.
It's
sometimes you just hold up your fingers.
Yeah. It's like if you were hired as a painter, but the guy said, look, we're going to pay you for a full day, but we don't got a lot of paints. So we're just going to dab on just a little by the door, and then no more.
Well,
it'd be great, right?
Even when they do have plenty of time, you're usually not supposed to talk for more than 10 seconds, or rather 20 seconds. So it's fabulous.
Yeah. And you get a whole bunch of money, and then you just go home. And it's live, so it's real time. There's no starting and stopping,
right.
And we got technical problems. And we'd like to see you try that one again. We think you get a little more energy out of the next take.
It's fabulous. The only problem is we don't know. It's been renewed, but we don't know for how many. And it may only be renewed for a few, and that wouldn't be good. We made 40 last year, and that was a miracle. Huh. That was just a gift from God.
And that's a ton. I mean, that is a huge order in TV.
It's huge.
Yeah. What do you do? No one does 40 of anything.
It was an incredible gift from God. It was as if I had won a fairly good-sized gift in the lottery. It was. It was fabulous.
Yeah, but your whole life's been a little bit of a gift, right?
It's been very much of a gift. It's been a tremendous gift, and I'm glad you said that. I want to tell you something. I was straightening up my office the other day, and I came upon your tape of when you were on Letterman. And I remember that tape vividly, but it was even better than I had remembered it. It was when you were talking about how your boss, when you were working construction, said, run. Don't just walk, run.
That's right. He told me to go to his truck and get the level.
And
as
run.
I walked, and half, he said, I took two steps and yelled, run.
Yeah. And I thought to myself, wow, is that a great summation of what it means to be humiliated in life and what it means to get revenge on the whole situation in life that does that to you? It is just
to talk about them on Letterman afterwards.
Well, thank
fabulous,
you.
He did that to his teachers, too, from high school.
I went on.
Did you ever see that one?
When I did Letterman, I had a list of people who needed to kiss my ass because I had arrived.
Right, but that one was the best one.
Thank you. That, but they're all real people. They're my boss from McDonald's and Mr. Gregory, who failed me from driver's ed, and many other people I can't even remember by now. But God bless you, Ben Stein, for watching
that. It's a very, very nice piece of tape.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
For that, I'm going to plug the book.
Well, God bless you.
How to Ruin Your Life.
Your Love Life.
I'm sorry, your love life.
Yeah.
I'm so
excited. How to Ruin Your Life, that's still for sale.
Yeah, that's still very much for sale.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, How to Ruin Your Love. And the next one is How to Ruin Your Financial Life.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, and so it's a trilogy.
They're actually going to be, I hope, even more than that.
Well, the book is out. It is selling well. You can visit Ben on his website and find out about the book and where to get it and anything you need to know about Ben at www.benstein.com. Ben will be on Jimmy Kimmel Live this evening. How did that go?
It went fine. It went very well. We had a Bobcat Goldthwait as the co-host. I don't know. You know him quite well, I'm sure.
Sure.
He has the most unbelievably gorgeous wife.
Yes. Yes, he does.
Staggeringly good
looking. It makes you angry.
She was
11 when they met.
It makes you angry.
How is that? I mean, how did that happen? You have great insights into life. How does that happen?
I'll tell you how.
You both have great insights into life.
I'll tell you how it happened. I hope Bob's not listening. his wife, Nikki Cox, is a spectacular looking woman. And Bob is, Bob's Bob. That's basically
a very nice guy. But
very nice guy.
He's not Arnold Schwarzenegger.
No, he is not, which we'll talk about in a second. But I think what happened was is Bob got onto that show where he played the sock puppet or the voice of the sock puppet, and she was the lead on
right.
it.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And he got her when she was green.
Uh-huh.
See, this happens every once in a while. The guy shows up when, you know, it's like, there's a guy who's dating Anna Nicole Smith when she's still working at the chicken joint.
Uh-huh.
This is the diamond in the rough. Here's what happens with women,
That's
I think.
That's sort of what happened with me and my wife.
Women take, if a woman grows up in a semi-humbling environment, even if she's smoking hot at 16 or 17, it doesn't fully sink in until 19, 20, 21. There's a little couple of years in there where this low self-esteem is still surpassing whatever cocaine, money, and sexual advances society is throwing at you.
Uh-huh.
If you can get them there, then Bobcat can trade up and really score.
Well, he scored unbelievably.
He absolutely did.
Mind-blowingly.
And let me say this about Nikki Cox as well. Not only a spectacular beauty, but
nice
humble, friendly, outgoing,
we met her
sweet
the first
woman.
Time.
I met
Hollywood
her
at Squares. Remember that?
She's
awesome. Yeah, awesomely beautiful and awesomely friendly. She used to be on the same set where we used to make Win Ben Stein's Money. I just couldn't get over her.
And also Bobcat, I will say, is not the loudmouth buffoon he appears to be on occasion on television programs and an occasional movie. He's really a thoughtful, interesting, talented guy. So
well,
I think she's probably attracted to that. But I agree. I still want to kill Bob.
Yeah. That you got it in a nutshell. Exactly.
All right. So, Drew.
Yeah.
We ready to take some calls?
No.
Oh, no. We got to take a break.
Take a break, yeah.
All right. Ben Stein is here. How to Ruin Your Love Life is the name of the new book. We'll talk to him. Now, Ben, for those of you who don't know it, was a political speechwriter for many years for Nixon and Ford, and probably knows more about politics and the inner workings of politics than anyone we're ever going to have on this show.
Yes, very
That's
definitely.
For goddamn sure. So I want to talk to him about what he thinks about the whole California gubernatorial race and all that kind of stuff when we come back. Buddy, the Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Turn that down, Anderson. Can't think here. Phone number. He always passive-aggressively turns it all the way off when I tell him to turn it down. I think that's an FU. Thank you. Ben Stein here tonight. Marilyn Manson here tomorrow night. Same two guys. I don't know why we need them both. Sarah Silverman, again, the same person as Ben or Marilyn Manson. Going to be in Thursday night talking about School of Rock, which I hear is very, very good. Ben has a book out. It's called How to Ruin Your Love Life. And if Ben wrote it, it's got to be good.
Well, thank you.
Let's talk politics for just one moment because it's perfect timing having you on tonight and getting your insights on the California gubernatorial race. So first off, what do you think about Schwarzenegger versus Gray Davis or Bustamante? Who do you like? Why do you like them?
Well, first of all, I voted for McClintock. I mean,
I like McClintock,
I think
too.
McClintock was a straight shooter. He was an honest guy. He isn't rich. He isn't glamorous. He's just a hardworking civil servant. And he's true to his principles. I like that about him.
Yes. I was impressed by him during the debate. He didn't just spout out some platitudes. He seemed to actually know the topics.
Yeah, he's a smart guy, and he's been toiling in the vineyard a long time. But I think you're a psychologist, actually, you would know this. People have a hard time distinguishing between a fictitious character and a real character.
Oh, yeah.
In movies, Arnold is the ultimate problem solver. He solves the problem of saving the human race.
Yes.
Over and over and over again. Yes. And I think people are confused, and they think he really can solve all the problems of California in some kind of violent but brief way,
right.
In some kind of mysterious way, he will solve the problem.
Do you think, though, that that most of what was motivating what happened tonight was a repudiation of politicians? I think they would have put Mickey Mouse in. You know what I mean? They were just anybody's not a politician.
It has something to do with that. It has something to do with the fact that Gray Davis is a particularly charmless individual, and as somebody said, he has negative personal charisma.
Well, when you take a look at him and Bustamante, it's like, I don't know if either one of those guys got a date in high school or college. Like,
They're pathetic. Although Gray Davis's wife is actually very attractive. I've never seen Cruz Bustamante's wife. His real name,
by the way, at Bobcat's wife.
I know. Let's get back to that.
He should be governor, right?
Let's get back to that.
We got to make him governor and then assassinate him and then come in and pick up the pieces.
Exactly.
Okay, Nikki, you need a shoulder to cry on? That's great, baby.
Yeah. People think Arnold is going to be a problem solver. I think, there's no way he can really solve all of California's problems. But in movies, he solves even more difficult problems. He just defeats whole armies of androids.
Well, let's talk about this, because I, as you, although you may not admit this, think the average person who's just the average schmo walking around is pretty stupid. Probably. Voting may be too much responsibility for the average idiot who calls this show, for instance.
A
lot of dumb people walking around. And we're constantly doing this thing where it's get out and vote, get out and vote. We got to get more people to get out and vote. But do we really need to get more stupid people to get out and vote on anything? Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, that is a big problem that the founders of this country faced, and they made a decision that only people who had land or property could vote.
Yes.
And they reasoned that if you had land or property, you must have some ability and some education.
And something at stake, perhaps.
Yeah, something at stake. Well, that was the law in almost all countries.
Good.
That allowed voting.
Let's get back to that.
Well, I think you ought to write something about that. That would not make you as popular as you'd like to be, but you're already very, very popular.
Thank you.
I
just mean getting, like, for instance, if somebody asked me to vote on something I didn't know about, I would feel like it was irresponsible for me to cast a vote for it. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but that is done. Look at the proposition.
California. That's my point.
There's sometimes 10 or 12 propositions that you know nothing about, and you're asked to vote on them, and you decide to vote.
If I was watching, I enjoy the show Survivor, and each week they vote to see who gets thrown off. There's many reasons why they vote somebody off, but oftentimes it's because they're not pulling their weight. But it wouldn't be fair to take someone who's never seen Survivor and say cast a vote to see who gets thrown off the island. You'd end up just voting for the taller, better looking one, or the fat guy you'd cast a vote to get tossed off the island. You know what I mean? Like, it wouldn't be fair. You shouldn't be voting. You don't know. You haven't seen it. I'm sort of this way with the propositions and the politicians, which is if you don't know it, you shouldn't be voting.
Well, this is, you have a beef then with the people who abolished the property requirements. There, in some countries, there used to be an education requirement. There was a literacy requirement. There was a poll tax.
Makes sense.
There was a lot of, there, a poll tax, people thought was a very good idea, because if you didn't pay the poll tax, how committed could you be to the issues and voting on it?
Right.
But then it was held that that was racially discriminatory because so many non-whites didn't pay or couldn't afford to pay poll tax.
Well, I agree with Ben Stein. Let's get back to the racist prime that this country was in some years ago.
Well, I didn't say that's a good idea.
Here, here.
I said that's
no,
what's happening.
Very clearly. Here, here.
Okay.
All right. So, Schwarzenegger, you okay with him, or you don't think anything's going
to
change?
I don't think he's going to be able to change that much, because, for example, he said the very first thing he did when he got into office is going to be to repeal the new increased car taxes.
Right.
But if he does
that,
he can do it, sure. I think he can do it. But if he does that, then he's going to be missing several hundred million or billion dollars that he needs to balance the budget. So where's that going to come from? Then he's going to have to figure out a way to get it from somewhere for that.
Right.
So it's not, it's, he can't just magically make problems of addition and subtraction go away. I mean, he's terribly capable, and he has very smart people around him, but there is something called arithmetic, which is immutable.
Well, I'll tell you what I would do. I would trim the fat and send a message to the fat cats in Sacramento.
That's very funny.
Right. That's what I would do.
That's very, very funny.
I mean, like the, I mean, that's all
funny.
I would ever say.
Go.
I'm
very,
going to send a message to the fat cats
funny.
In Sacramento.
Send one tonight by voting.
All right. We're going to take ourselves a little break. Ben Stein in studio tonight. And we'll be right back after this. Everybody, it's the Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Ben Stein, the great Ben Stein, in studio tonight. How to Ruin Your Love Life, name of his latest book. And Marilyn Manson in here tomorrow night. And then Sarah Silverman. All right, so let's, and by the way, if you want to find out anything about Ben or the book or where you can get it, you just go to www.benstein.com. All right, let's press forward and speak to Brooke, who's 21. Brooke?
Hey.
What's up?
I have a question for Drew, and I was just wondering what I have for increasing my hormone level. And the reason why I ask is because I have no sexual desire, never really horny, and it actually runs in my mom's side of the family.
Well, how did that conversation go down?
Yeah. How did that go?
What do you mean?
Well, how'd you figure that out? Did you have that discussion with your mom?
Yeah. Oh, I talked to her. My mom's sister, my aunt, actually was on shots, like, once a month, and she would have a tab under her tongue, and basically she was, like, taking testosterone to, you know, boost her hormone levels.
To kickstart her sexually?
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, it's, she actually has, like, a hormonal imbalance. Like, they take blood tests and, you know, it's proven, and so they would give her, like, testosterone shots.
It's
and
ironic
I was just wondering,
that
huh?
you can't say hormonal without first saying whore, but yet she was closed off sexually.
Fascinating.
It is. It's very deep. It's very deep.
Actually, many whores are closed off sexually.
Yeah, but the vagina's open for business, so it's like, I don't need to know that the guy who's cooking me food is happy about it or not. I just need to know I get my plate of hash. You know what I'm saying, Ben? That's why I'm going to make a great governor one day.
Brooke, so you've never been interested in sex?
No, not really. I mean, I have been pushed sexually, but not because I was interested in it.
All right. Are you on any medication?
No.
Do you menstruate normally?
Yeah.
Do you have excessive body hair or anything like that?
No.
Are you overweight?
No.
Were you ever sexually abused?
By, like, my family?
By anybody?
Well, I've been sexually, like, pushed. I mean, I'm still a virgin, you know, but...
You're still a virgin.
Okay,
who
so
pushed
not...
you sexually? Bobcat? He likes the young ones.
She's too old.
That's true. What? Who? Your boyfriend?
An ex-boyfriend.
Were you were you traumatized in any way growing up? Did you lose somebody? Or?
No. I mean, I think that has traumatized me sexually in one way.
Yeah.
But
you brought up the sexually push thing a couple times, and I wonder how you define that and
what
it meant to you.
Yeah.
I think that's one reason why I'm don't really have as much of a sexual.
How old were you when that happened? How old were you when you were sort of traumatized that way? But you like this one.
18. I want to say like 4 years ago.
All right. Well, what happened?
No, I was just dating him, and we didn't have sex or anything, but just oral or stuff like that.
Make girls into boys and boys into girls. Excuse me. Sorry.
Drew, I'm not going to say now that you're celebrating your 20th year on the radio, I'm no longer going to explain what you're talking about. I'm going to leave that up to you.
Okay,
when you do horrible radio and have conversations off the air and show pictures to guests out of textbooks of guys with their dinglings cut off, I'm not going to explain it. Okay. I'm going to leave that up to you.
Right, thank you. So, Brooke, we're not quite sure what this is, but your belief.
She's angry.
Yeah,
and again, you still haven't defined sexually pushed. You went out with a guy when you were 18. He wanted to do things you didn't want to do, and he did what? He forced you to do them. What?
You
could
say that.
All right.
But she's already said that her mother has the same problem, and she doesn't. And her mother, presumably. I mean, have you discovered that her mother was sexually pushed? Maybe it really is.
It's a bizarre conversation there with mom. But this business of the aunt taking sublingual testosterone and stuff—that does not sound. There really are no blood tests for what she's talking about because it's not a normal range.
Brooke's angry. Sums up with Brooke.
Psychologically, yeah.
Yes. What's wrong with her?
I don't know, but this is not a biological process.
Brooke.
Yeah.
Why are you angry?
I'm not that I'm angry. I'm just sexually frustrated, I guess, in a way that I don't get.
All right, but I asked you what happened with the sexually push thing 4 times, and you never answered.
I told you that he, wanted oral or fingering or hand job, and, I did it in a way to get out of sex because he was pushing me into, losing my virginity, and I didn't want to. So the only way out of that was to offer something else. Which I never even wanted to do anyways.
Yeah, but did he know you didn't want to do it?
Yeah.
You told him, no, I don't want to give you oral sex.
Yeah.
And he forced you to do it.
More or less, he was giving oral to me, and I did not want him there.
No.
And I told him that, but...
Lesser crime, by the way. Juries are less sympathetic to that. All right, but Brooke, where's your dad?
With me. I live with my parents.
You live with your parents. Everyone's in love. No one's an alcoholic.
Mm-mm.
No sexual. No weird uncles.
No
physical abuse.
No.
Okay. All right.
The main thing is.
All right.
Forget your idea that there's going to be some blood test that they can magically restore all this with. That's probably not going to be the case.
Yeah.
You're menstruating normally. You don't have any manifestations of a real, true hormonal problem. Worth getting checked, but doubtful that's going to have a significant. Resolution that way.
Also, I really do, and I know this sounds horrible, but everything I say is horrible. He's going down on her, for Christ's sake. By the way, who's the victim? You ever gone down? Ben, you gone down on a woman lately? It's a mess. It is a train wreck down there. Who is the victim? I ask you, Your Honor. Your Honor, I submit. Exhibit one. Bailiff, get the lights. I got a whole slideshow here. Do you know what that is? No, that is not Mount Krakatoa from a helicopter. That's an enlarged vulva, Your Honor. All right. But listen, Brooke is angry, but I get the feeling that she never really conveyed it to the guy. She just looked at herself as being victimized by a guy who was a 17, 18-year-old guy who was moving forward sexually,
as guys
do. There's something going on with her, some anger. My spidey sense was tingling.
Yeah.
All right. Corey?
Yeah?
Listen, I'll tell you something about you women. You don't realize we like going down on you because you like it and because we think it leads to something, but in and of itself, we don't like it. I mean, separated completely from all context. It was not a good thing. Do you know what I mean? I mean, you getting a back rub does not need a context.
Right.
You know, it feels good. There's fingers on your back. Your muscles are sore. You going down on a chick is not a good thing unless, like, put it this way. Here's how you know it's not a good thing. Aha. Here's how I discovered it.
Your Honor.
Your Honor. Drew, you would take a neck rub from a 700-pound syphilis-ridden polio victim troll with a horn growing out of her back, with a dorsal fin, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
who had leprosy,
okay,
if it was dry,
yeah,
you would take that and enjoy it just the same as a model. You really would. You'd close your eyes, you'd do it. If you were going down on that same girl, it would be a totally different situation than you, let's say, going down on Nikki Cox, Bobcat's wife. Would it not?
Different situation, yeah.
Different situation. Yeah. Why? It's a vagina. You're going down on it. No. Different situation.
Yeah. Ben isn't used to this prank talk. You're humiliating him.
No, well, not Ben you. Loves this stuff.
I'm loving it.
Thank you, Ben.
Wait, no, one.
Oh, we're going to one?
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk to Corey, who's 24. Corey?
Hi.
What's up?
I was just calling to say that there has been a case of twins with two different fathers. New England Journal of Medicine.
Yeah, but we speculate that was possible. What she was saying, though, is that her friend was pregnant, and then a couple months later had another man impregnate her with a second pregnancy.
No, that's not what she was saying.
Yes, it was.
What you surmised, and I said no early.
I said, how did you know you got pregnant? She went to a doctor. I said I was pregnant, and then she had another pregnancy.
No.
So you can't...
She said twins. She wanted to know if it could be... We'll play the thing back.
Right.
But still, you said twins.
And then
would
I
be.
Went to twins, and we talked about it as a possibility with twins.
Yeah, yeah. Well, she said cats could do it.
But I'd never heard of it, so Corey's saying that she's seen a reported case. So
I like I love it when people cite animals that are completely different. You know, cats, they got four legs, they got a tongue like sandpaper, they live till 8.5 years old, they're covered with fur.
They live older than that.
14.
15.
I was just testing you, Ben,
okay.
You're not doing well. You're not doing well with the cat age thing. Now, I want to find out.
Well, no, cats do live to be 14 and 15.
I'm just saying when a man pipes up and knows how long cats live, that's a bad sign for a man.
Okay.
That's not a good sign.
We have four cats.
Uh-oh.
We love cats.
All right.
Although one of the cats, when he's angry, pees on the furniture.
Oh, my God.
Is there anything more pungent than pet cat?
No, there's nothing. And I wanted to... return the cat to
heaven
source, but my wife would not let
source.
Me. My wife would not let me. She said it would break her heart.
Yeah, but there really should be some sort of mafia to get rid of unwanted pets for males.
By the way, speaking of having sent
you know what I'm saying,
get guys to the moon, can't we take care of stopping the cats from peeing everywhere or get rid of the smell at least?
I really don't know what we can do with them. A diaper, a dart. I don't know what we can do.
It rarely happens. When it does happen, it's very notable.
But here's my plan. I just thought of this. So often, men love pets as much as women, but we don't look at all of them as our children.
Well, my dog, I look as more than... My son might be listening, but I look at my dog as very, very important.
Maybe, possibly more than Tommy, your son.
I'm not going to say... No, he's not more important than Tommy. She's not more important than Tommy.
But equal.
She's a close right after
Tommy. Tommy inspired these books.
She's close right after Tommy.
How to ruin your
life. Okay, but here's the point. You love your dog very much. There's a cat you could do without that's
right.
in your house.
Right.
And I think we've all experienced that
yes.
one time or another.
Yes.
The thing sheds. The thing nips at you. It whizzes all over the place. It's blind in one eye. It's deaf, and the woman treats it as if it's a retarded child who she can never part with. I would like to start a service where we sort of quietly got rid of these. You know what I'm saying? The cat ran away. You know what I mean? We got rid of the
never,
cat.
I could never do that.
Not you wouldn't it's talk about it on the air. You wouldn't talk about
yeah,
it on the
right.
air. But
that's
quietly
right.
off the air and possibly in the deep recesses, the dark recesses of
I've
your mind,
I thought
Ben.
Of letting the cat escape.
Yeah. That's what I mean. I mean, have somebody take care of the cat.
Yeah.
The service.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm reading the back page of Ben's new book,
mm-hmm.
How to Ruin Your Love Life, and I think you would agree with his point of view. I'm going to read you a couple sentences. Ready?
Okay.
The truth is that your love object is incredibly, unbelievably lucky to have you in his life.
Mm-hmm.
Just for this unworthy soul to be associated with you is such a grand honor that you don't really need to pay any further attention to his or her desires.
Yeah. That's true.
Well, that's one of the rules of the book.
That's Adam's rule of life.
Only your feelings count.
Mm.
Your lover's feelings don't count. Because even though she has feelings, you can't feel her feelings.
Right.
So how important can they be?
And she's lucky to have you.
Yeah, she's incredibly lucky to have you, so she
right.
shouldn't really ask for anything else.
Yeah, if someone burns her with a cigarette, you don't feel the pain.
Right, no. exactly. Well, but another thing, see, one of the things that rules for women is you can say any mean thing you want. And if your boyfriend reproaches you for saying it, say, aren't I allowed to express my feelings?
Right.
Because obviously you can't say, no, you can't express your feelings.
Right.
So you can say, you're a total loser and my last boyfriend was 100 times better than you, because that's just her feelings.
I don't know. I talked to my guy friends about it once, and I realized their only complaint, their only beef with their wife or girlfriend or any woman in their life is not a beef they have with the woman. Their only beef is the constant beefs the women have with them.
That's part of it. That's part of it. But
everybody,
yes.
You talk to everybody and you're like, what's your big beef with your wife? My big beef is all her beefs with me.
Well, that's why, by the way, I'll say two things very quickly. My wife is close to perfect because she never starts arguments about anything at all, ever. Almost never. She's almost a perfect personality.
It's because Ben's too busy arguing. All the arguments.
Second thing is, one of the other rules in this book is start arguments about everything. There's nothing too small to argue over. And especially with people you love, there's nothing too small to argue over.
Those are words to live by from Ben Stein. I mean, every guy I know, all they want to do is be left alone. Drew, you never have a beef about your wife.
No.
You don't have any problems. I never sit my wife down and explain to her what she starts to... You need to do more of this. You need to do less of that. You need to start becoming this kind of person. All I ever say is, leave me alone. Stop riding me.
Well, that's one of the major rules of life, is that you it's almost impossible to leave your spouse too much alone. You can't...
I know.
And but women do like to change, man. And that's another humble rule. Marry somebody who's got a lot of problems and believe you can change them.
Yeah, that's what Drew's wife did.
Keep you busy.
Brandon?
Hey.
You're 23?
Yes.
You read Drew's book?
I did. I loved it.
Wow.
Yeah.
What's up?
My question is, pretty much everybody in my family, my aunts, uncles, grandparents, all have an addictive personality. Alcohol... marijuana, smoking, and so my dad, both of my parents used to do hard drugs, and my dad stopped doing that, stopped smoking weed, but my mom still drinks and smokes marijuana and all this stuff, and I asked my dad to read the book, but I'm trying to get some suggestions on how I can get my mom to read it.
Are your parents together?
Yes.
Could your dad recommend it to her?
I'm
afraid.
She's pretty good. I mean, she's pretty smart, but she gets pretty bad mood swings.
Yeah, but the book is not, I married an addict or anything. It's just
How do you know? You've never read it.
I've seen the cover. it's part fiction. Yeah. It's called Cracked. You could just give it to her and recommend it as a good, entertaining book. You don't have to, it's not a manual for life, per se, or it doesn't have to be presented that way.
I guess you could say, Mom, it would really mean a lot to me if you read this book.
I mean, I guess...
You're all very enabling. You're all tiptoeing around, afraid to confront her with what she's doing and the consequences of her disease.
Right.
You could say something very simple, like, I heard this book on radio, I read it, there's some stuff in there that sort of reminded me of what's going on with you. It worries me. Would you want to be interested in reading this? And maybe it'd help you.
Yeah.
I know it's scary to do that because it's cracking the shell of this denial that she's got.
What is her interest besides drugs?
Well, I mean, she
I think I gotta wait.
She goes to work. She comes home, smokes, smokes out a little bit.
Is she interested in anything else besides drugs?
Watches Oprah and soap operas and, hangs out in her room.
Soap operas.
And
she doesn't have any hobbies, cooking, sewing.
What kind of work does she get home from where she...
No, I think it's...
Home at 2 in the afternoon, 12 in the afternoon.
I think it's just, it's... She needs it... I mean, my grandparents on her side, they drink about a liter of hard alcohol a day.
Oh yeah, well, that's the gene. It's underway.
Right,
All right, now hold on a second. What kind of work does she do?
She works in education.
She's a teacher?
Yeah.
She's a teacher?
Yeah, but I mean, it's...
No, wait a minute. I don't know. Now I'm starting to think bogus.
No, it's not.
Mm.
But but she's a good person. I mean, she does her job well.
Right. Just give her the book. Just give her the book and tell her to read it and stop enabling her. And start putting... You need to go to Al-Anon.
But see,
yeah, that's
thank
for
you.
Sure.
But
that
see,
sure.
but this, but
yeah,
that, but nothing.
Or maybe yourself reread the book, Brian. I'm hearing you say some things that suggest you didn't get the basic messages, such as things like a addictive personality, and you're sort of surprised that everybody's using your family.
It's getting a weird vibe off Brandon. Yeah. Brandon,
yes.
Stop enabling your mom. Are you still living at home?
No, I've been out for a long time.
Good. Tell your dad to grow some balls and give her the book. That's it. Start laying the law down with people. And I do actually... People, here's the thing. Women, pets, kids, they all enjoy a little tug on the chain every once in a while. I think people are like, I love you, so I'm going to let you run all over me.
No.
You need to set some guidelines.
No,
it's up to the men in society. Mm. Otherwise, you end up like Gray Davis, and California's your bitch.
You know,
and it kicks your ass.
The truly addictive
thank
personality
you
can't do much with unless the person really wants to change.
True. But at least you don't have to be a party to it.
But you can, and you can create circumstances that motivate them.
But you have
the
to really
truly addictive personality has
oh,
to
yeah.
hit bottom before she or she wants
well,
to.
Well, and there's a certain percentage of those people that are going to die and
never get well. A very large percentage.
And you have to find out who you're dealing with. I mean, you got to be able to find out what the truth is.
Laughing
yeah,
time
and,
is over.
And I think it's a large, alarmingly large group of people. I don't think it's an overwhelming majority
what?
Of the addicts
that,
who are going to die.
You don't think it's a large majority?
No, I don't think it's a majority.
That's going to die.
I think it's too many.
Yeah.
I think it's a large group, but I don't think it's
again,
more than 50%.
You know, the bottom, though, can be induced. If you all got together in your family and said, hey, we've had enough of this crap. We're going to not be a part of your life if this continues. That's a bottom for some people. For others, they've got to lose everything before they're willing to change.
All right. We'll take a quick break. Ben Stein is here. We'll be right back.
Views on Susan Views, I cues on twos on views at my cues, my kisser, IZ. Oh, kisser, it's always like my kisser, it's always like my zoom, YZ, my zoom, zoom, Z.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dr. Drew and the Hizzy, everybody. Ben Stein is here as well.
Nice.
How to Ruin Your Love Life is the name of his latest offering.
And the hizzle for chisel.
Everything chisel. That comes out of Ben's mind into his mouth and then into society is golden.
Oh,
spun
God.
Gold. Even his drool should be collected
yeah, exactly.
and kept as a keepsake. So you know the book's going to be good. It is out, and you can just go to www.benstein.com if you want to find out where to get it or anything about it. Okay, where
Amazon is a
place to go, and Marilyn Manson in here tomorrow night, Sarah Silverman in here Thursday night. Drew?
I like this chapter about be sure you marry somebody who's always unhappy.
Yes,
and
yeah.
just keep working
at it. Think you can make them happy.
And think you can make them happy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And just work at it.
Yeah. And don't let your lover believe that he or she is valued just for himself, but only for what he or she can do for you.
Well, let's examine that for just one second. Who do you know in your life who's really, truly changed? A couple of people, whose personality is different than it was.
Mine. Is
yours?
Yeah, well, I used to be a really, really heavy drug user.
Really?
Yeah, and I changed largely from going to 12-step meetings.
Really?
Yeah, really.
I had no idea.
Well, now you know.
What year are we talking about?
What years? Started in about 1966 and went on until about 1988.
What drugs?
Well, marijuana, hashish, Demerol, Dilaudid.
I don't count any of those as drugs, by the way, but keep going.
You don't count Dilaudid as
keep
a drug?
Keep going. That's a personal thing.
You
keep
do
going.
Not know Dilaudid if you don't count it as a drug.
True, that's heavy, right?
Dilaudid.
That's good stuff. Good
Dexamil.
Yeah. Ooh. So prescription stuff,
Doradin,
marijuana.
Tolwyn.
What about booze?
No, I used booze, but it didn't do much for me unless I used it in conjunction with pills.
The interesting thing
I did notice from the weed, though, in those clear eye spots, they were pretty, his eyes were pretty bloodshot, and then the clear eyes, that's the clear eyes connection. What about Coke? Yeah.
I loved Coke, but Coke was self-limiting because you can only stay up at night listening to the effing Coke birds and dawn comes and hating yourself and thinking you're the worst loser in the world for a certain amount of time and then you have to stop.
Well, that was my whole thing with Coke and or speed, where people would be up for two or three nights straight and want to go out and get an eight ball. My thing was like, don't you want to have a couple shots of NyQuil and put your head on a pillow? I mean, are you enjoying this?
There's nothing worse than being high on cocaine. If you want to get paranoid and crazy,
yeah,
just take a really nice car and drive down to Compton and sit in a 7-Eleven in Compton in a shiny new BMW or Mercedes if you want to feel paranoid and crazy.
Yeah. And I would argue that being high on speed is worse than being high on coke.
High on when the speed wears off, you feel guaranteed suicidal. It's
right.
The worst.
Well, the interesting thing also about these two drugs is that they both cause paranoia because of the depletions of the chemicals in the brain. And in the case of speed, the paranoia is always, it's slow to develop, and it's always focused on important relationships, family, friends, neighbors, coworkers. And the cocaine paranoia comes on very rapidly over 3 days, is extremely intense, and always focused on uniformed officers.
Really?
Always.
So
I wonder why.
No matter what the environment is, the same focus applies to in terms of where the paranoia goes.
So Ben did plenty of drugs, got involved with 12-step programs, and are in a different person.
Well,
is your personality different?
Yeah, I am a much calmer person.
Really?
I really am.
You were
uppity
before.
My wife is here. You could ask her. Now, I used to argue all the time and criticize. I still criticize a lot, but nowhere near as much.
You had more energy. You were more eager for the fray.
Right. I'm not eager for it at all.
Yeah. I know, because you're waiting to die like we are. This
no,
is what
I
happens.
I just don't want to
yes,
use up my energy.
You're vacationing in Idaho. You're staring at trout in a pond. You're hoping you fall in and die.
No.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Yes. The name of his next book is I'm Dead. There's going to be 4 or 5 pages,
no,
and then you'll just see scribble and a line going off the page, and the other 400 pages will be
you're
blank.
You're totally wrong. I'm much happier.
You want to die. Calmer. Don't argue with me.
Okay.
You'd like it.
Okay, well,
just
I
like
told you
are.
I don't like to argue.
Lisa?
Yes.
You're 30?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
A lot.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, tell us the big stuff.
Okay, the big stuff. My main question is, when can somebody conceive?
What do you mean when?
When? Like,
it's different for different people.
How many days after the first day of the last period? Or
about the middle.
About the middle, about 18 days.
Okay.
It's within 24 hours of the ovulation. And you can get an ovulation kit and try to document when you've ovulated, that sort of thing.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. Why? What are you planning on doing?
I might be pregnant. And,
you might be.
In a very different way.
Oh.
My husband.
Reading, yeah.
In
go ahead.
Prison. And,
yeah, I'm reading the screen now.
Huh?
Your husband's in jail,
right.
And you snuck some semen out.
Well, actually, I did it there in the prison, in the visiting room.
Had sex with him?
No. Well, yeah. No. He had his specimen.
Hold on a second. Let's just do a quick love line reenactment.
So, Adam,
actually, we did it in there, right in the visiting room.
You had sex with him?
Well, yeah. No. Yeah. Yeah. No. Yes. But no. Lisa?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Do you really have to? I'm sickened by the idea of you having kids.
I literally have sex with him.
I'm nauseated by it.
He had.
That's my morning sickness. You guys get morning sickness. I get taxpayer sickness.
He had something.
I hear speed on Lisa too.
Yeah. You got a problem with speed?
Am I on speed?
Have you a history of speed?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I could just.
Why do we always? Why does it always sound? How come? What is the sound? It's sort of.
How do you guys know this?
I'll tell you what it is. Here's what it is. It's rushed speech, and this is not that you're high now.
Right.
This is a history of speed. It's rushed speech, meets 2 packs a day of cool cigarettes, meets sort of spent too much time in the sun, kind of sun blasted, kind of worked. Life has pummeled you a little bit. It's like life is like an ocean, and the sea is always rough, and you're just up against the rocks.
Yeah, there's
your whole life against the rocks.
You don't even know how close you are.
Yeah, well, we do.
Oh, no, yeah, I do.
We do.
Actually, I just said it.
Wow.
Okay.
So why would you want to have kids?
Did you smoke Kools?
No, I didn't. I don't like menthol.
All right. But you're a big smoker, right?
No, not really.
All right. But
this
a smoker.
This pack lasts me about a week.
No. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway.
All right, okay. So now your hubby's in the joint for what? Speed?
Actually, you could say that. He he had never really experimented with drugs, and got high for a period of time, and it made him do stupid things. He made bad decisions, and
What'd he do? Hurt somebody? Rob a bank?
No.
What'd he do?
No, he didn't hurt anybody.
What did he do?
Felon. They're trying to get him a felon in possession of a firearm, career criminal, 15 to life.
Why? What's... All right.
What did he do?
What did he do?
What did he do?
What made him a felon?
Well, he's already done 15 years. He robbed banks and armored cars.
Okay. Didn't I say rob a bank?
Yeah, by the way, no impression of Adams pulling, robbing banks out of the air. Didn't think that was interesting.
Oh, yeah, he
asked. Yeah, okay. We don't say anything.
And, you know, it's another story, but I don't know. Anyway, never mind. That'll be another story.
Look, there's no doubt that he's good people.
He is. No, he really is.
If your mom was Jewish, she'd blow her head off with a shotgun.
Oh, she'd probably blow my head off with a shotgun, and she's not Jewish, if she knew what I was doing right now.
No, if she was Jewish, she'd blow her head off with a shotgun.
Oh, she probably would do it now, too. Both of our heads.
No, Jewish wouldn't blow your... Oh, just shut up.
Yeah.
don't tell me about the Jews.
So, are you ready for the story?
No.
Yeah.
You went and visited... First off, do you have any kids?
Yes, I do.
Oh, I know you do. That's the beauty. Here's the beauty of you. You already have a couple of kids you've screwed up horribly, I'm sure, and you're smuggling jizz out of the clink
so you can crank out
some more retards that I can pay for.
A what?
With a speed-soaked mom. Steady diet of secondhand smoke and Ozzy Osbourne music.
Oh, my gosh.
Crib lined with bad rust-colored shag carpet.
Oh, you're...
How many kids do you have, Screwball?
How many do you think I have?
Three.
Three sounds about right.
Wrong.
I hope it's not more. I hope it's not more.
How many do you have?
How many do I have? Two.
Yes.
Two. We're way...
All right, but you're...
I'm pregnant with one.
You just spit the third into your vagina, right?
I'm getting ready. Yeah, I'm hoping.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God willing. God willing.
God would be willing, yes.
Yeah, so now how old are the two kids you have?
Well, do you want to
17.
Guess?
Just tell me how old they are.
No, they're 7 and 9.
7 and 9. And
right.
Are they...
Well, wait, I thought had been in jail for 15 years.
They're not his kids.
Of course not.
My
of course
kids, not. Their real father passed away.
Of heroin.
Oh, shut up.
What happened?
God damn. What'd you just say?
What'd the first guy pass away from?
What'd you say?
He said heroin.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Oh, wow.
I feel bad, too.
Humans are very
predictable. Really, this is...
What happened to the first husband?
Heroin. He got a staph infection from his IV use.
Look, you guys. Lisa, humans are highly predictable.
Wow.
And it's predictable what you're going to do to this third child. So how about not doing that? How about just stopping it right there?
Okay.
We've been able to pull your entire...
I don't want smart-ass comments. I really want to know what you think I should do.
You should jump up and down on a trampoline until this semen falls out of you.
Well, if I jumped up and down...
And then
the
set it on fire.
My double D's would blacken my eyes.
All right.
Thing, too.
All right. Hey, listen, right. Lisa.
What?
Yeah, okay. Let's just sum things up. I'm going to be very quick. Okay. Now, start listening to me. Couple of things. You're not that smart.
I know I'm
not. As a matter of fact, you're stupid. And here's what you got to do when you're stupid. You have to listen to smart people and shut up.
And who's smart?
I'm smart.
Ben's smart.
Listen, a raccoon is smart compared to you, so shut up.
Yeah, you know where you can go, buddy.
Just listen. You're already effed up your kids enough. Now, don't have a third. Please. Please.
And who died and made you God? I want to talk to the other guy.
God died and made me God.
Oh, shut up.
A lot of people don't know that.
Nietzsche said that, didn't he?
Nietzsche told me that. Nietzsche said to tell you that.
I could tell you where to go, but I won't.
All right. Your delight. I enjoy a nice verbal sparring with a young minx like yourself.
Ooh, Lisa, look into some recovery. Go
get into recovery.
Go to an NA
meeting. I'm waiting. I'm there, you know.
Call NA. Go to an NA meeting.
I'm in rehab.
Yes.
Good. Excellent. Beautiful.
Right. She's in residential.
You're in residential
rehab.
Treatment right now?
She's in residential rehab right now.
Did you talk to your sponsor about this idea of getting pregnant?
No, I did it before.
Okay. Well, but one... All right. But one
okay,
of the
now,
things...
Before you guys hang up on me and cut me off, I have to say something to my husband because he's listening right now.
No, you do not. And
why?
Listen, I want to know how it is that you retrieve the semen.
Okay. He prepared it and put it in a finger of a glove and tied a knot in it. And when you go to visit somebody in the prison, you can give them a hug and a kiss. And he had it in his mouth. I gave him a kiss, put it in my mouth, went in the bathroom, and I had a baby, you know, medicine sucker. Like a
eyedropper?
Turkey baster kind of.
Yeah.
I went in the bathroom, and I sucked it up. I put it in me, and I hoofed it.
Nice.
She hoofed it.
I hoofed it.
I have no idea.
Now, how did you think I did it? I mean, really, swallowed it. I mean... You know,
yeah. All right. You put it up in you. And now, when does your husband get out of jail?
You don't want to know that.
I do want to know that.
Well, I am hoping soon, but it is not looking too good right now.
I know you're hoping later on tonight, but enforcing courts go. He's got another 17 years, right?
What was that?
When is he getting out?
Probably his lawyer says he's going to have to do probably 15.
Oh, okay.
God. Oh, God.
I know. So what? The kid's bar mitzvah will already, he'll already be bar mitzvah. I'm assuming you're a Jewish couple. Or bat mitzvah before your husband gets at it. Oh, this is not going to work.
Lisa, I'm glad you're in residential. Just follow direction. Ask. Don't rely on your brain for anything. Take direction, ask questions, don't do anything that you think is the right thing to do until you check it through with somebody else.
All right.
Period.
Let me tell you when I'm in charge. Ooh. This is another thing Schwarzenegger could get to work on. First order business. When I start hearing about these convicts cranking out kids from the joint, getting married, having conjugal visits, the idea that Randall... Tex Watkins has, actually I'm thinking Randall Tex Cobb, but Tex Watkins of the Manson family has himself a couple of kids from from inside the joint.
Yes.
Okay,
how did he do that?
Well, how it is, first,
he has
first you get a pussy, you get a pussy Democratic governor, and you get a bunch of bleeding hearts, and then you get the pussy ACLU. Homo lawyers in there just going to bat for everybody, and they start crying. Well, just because he stabbed a pregnant chick several thousand times doesn't mean he doesn't have rights. And so he gets married, and once he gets married in prison, well, then as a married man, he's entitled to conjugal visits, and he knocks her up from inside the joint.
That's incredible.
Oh, there's a lot of that.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, that's a good thing.
Ted Bundy has a 20-year-old daughter that he cranked out from inside the joint.
That's incredible.
Yeah, that's great. You're let's just say you're one of the family members of the deceased, and Ted Bundy went to work on your 14-year-old with a set of pliers before he raped her and eventually killed her, and he's in prison screwing.
That's incredible.
Because he's got rights.
That's incredible.
These are the pussy ACLU homos. This is the kind of work they do. This is what they do. This is their plan. Of course, it's incredible. It's unthinkable. But this is what goes on. And this is how it works. Yes, Ted Bundy has a kid from inside the joint. Before he was put down, he got down. And Tex Watkins has kids, too, multiple kids.
Lisa's got three kids.
And Lisa has kids, and there's nobody that can say anything about it because we don't have the right. Ted Bundy has the right to take pliers to teenagers and brutally kill them and destroy families. But he has rights. Really, he's got rights? How many people you got to kill before you lose your right to hump from inside the joint?
Screwed up people having screwed up kids is something that disturbs us more than anything.
Pussy retard, pussy, ACLU pussies trying to destroy this world. They don't believe that there's evil. That's the problem. They don't think there's evil. There's just people that are misunderstood, and they need guidance, and they need love, and they need direction. They don't believe in evil.
That's incredible.
There's no evil terrorists. There's no evil serial killers. No one is evil. There's misunderstood. And besides, society makes these people anyway. It's not their fault.
Well, after
it's our
all,
job
I'm,
to
after
jump
all,
in.
After all, I'm only society's child.
That's right. And let me tell you one other thing about those homos over at the ACLU. The other thing they did is recently someone decided, hey, maybe it'd be a good idea to get some DNA samples from all the guys that are on death row so that we could match up some of these unsolved murders that are on the books. Because guys that are on death row, a lot of them are career criminals. And most of them, if they're in there for one murder, there's many other murders they're involved with that are on the books. They're unsolved. and they have manpower that are going to try to... Basically, you're trying to catch a guy who's already in the joint, essentially.
So stop spending money and time.
This happens all the time when they start investigating these murders. They find out the guy's in jail on another charge or already serving a life sentence in Kentucky for something that went on in California. So, here's the deal. These guys are on death row. We get a DNA sample of these guys. We match it up to stuff on the books, and we start cleaning off some of the books. Give a little closure to some of the families of these victims, by the way. ACLU steps in. Oh, no. Yeah. No. Can't do it. It's against their rights.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Now, they can voluntarily submit to a sample of DNA, but you certainly can't force a guy who's locked up 23 hours a day and you're about to kill to do anything that's against his rights. And my argument is we've already stripped this guy of his rights. He's living in a concrete block. You know what I mean? We're going to kill him. Let's take some DNA. And if we want his DNA, we'll take it. That's it. Pussies. Wow. Yeah, and imagine fighting tooth and nail for this. And winning, by the way.
Amazing.
Yeah, good times.
It's amazing.
Yeah,
all right,
you're doing the Lord's work. Lord's work. We got to take a break.
I'll say goodbye to you now.
We're only on for 10 more minutes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, don't be. I know I depressed you.
No, 12, but we'll actually 10 to 12.
I'm sorry.
Don't be depressed,
okay,
man.
I'm very depressed.
Oh, that's all right. We're going to get you back
during
the break.
Chased him out of here.
You're going to get probably even something worse now.
No, it's all good. It's all good.
Of happy calls now.
You still don't want to die?
I am happy in my life. In my life.
He thinks he's happy. Ben Stein here. We'll take a break. We'll be back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Ben Stein in studio tonight.
You know what I think of whenever you say Dr. Drew is Dr. Dre. Hey, are you a real doctor, man? I mean, like, can you prescribe drugs and something?
Tell you what. I really like Adam said, can you score for me?
Yeah, can you? Because I'll share them with you if you can.
I gotta get. You know what? I gotta try a Quaalude. I've never tried a Quaalude.
They're wonderful.
That's what
they're
I hear.
Absolutely wonderful. They're the best sleeping pill there ever was. They should not have made them illegal.
Really?
Yeah.
You like Quaaludes? I like call me old fashioned, but I like to get into a few Valium every once in a while.
Well, Valium are not illegal at all. They're extremely readily available.
That's what I'm saying. I'd like Drew to score.
Well, you must have a doctor. You could just go to him and ask him to prescribe.
I tried it.
Gesundheit.
Hold on, Drew. You allergic to prescription med conversations?
It's upsetting me.
All right, Drew doesn't. Drew's no good. But I got Dr. Marcel, who's a plastic surgeon, and he'd give you like pharmaceutical grade coke to like a teenager if he offered a hand job and some jewelry. You know what I mean? That's the beauty of plastic surgeons. They're kind of doctors. They're part pimp. They're part doctor. It's unclear what they are. So, and then there's Dr. Bruce, who just, you know, he's basically, he's my monkey. That's all. All right, so I don't need you, Drew. Liz?
Yes.
You're 19?
Yes.
What's up?
Well, let's see. Okay, I was listening, and somebody was talking about their mom who was an addict or whatever, and you referred to it as the disease, as her disease.
Right.
I don't know, and I've got like 60 days clean or something right now, and I'm going through NA, and but it's kind of difficult for me to really grasp that idea. I don't know.
I'm talking about an abnormality of your brain function. That's the easiest way to think of it. Your brain is changed and changed permanently as a result of the relationship with the chemical. And it has a natural history to it, and it has a treatment.
Well, be that as it may, you got 60-something days sobriety. Good for you. Keep going.
Yeah.
Don't analyze it too much. Talk to your sponsor. Stick with your program.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see if we can power through a few calls that have been on hold for a million years. This guy's been on hold for 90 minutes. I feel bad. Christina?
Sleeping.
Hello?
No. Christina, you're 19. What's up?
Hi.
Hey.
I have a question about birth control. I'm on orthotricycline low, and I totally was an idiot and skipped 2 days. And then on the third day when I went to go take my pill, I noticed what day I was on, and there you go. I took 3 of them at once, and then yesterday I took it the regular time. Today I got my period, and I was really nauseous, and so I was wondering if the nauseousness was related to taking the pills at once.
It could be, but usually it's right away after you took them. Have you been having sex this whole time?
No, that my boyfriend, that's a whole different story. No, we haven't been having sex.
Really?
What's that, a yes or no? That?
No, the answer is no. But what's wrong with him?
Well, we've been living in Portland for like half a year, and it took him a while to find a job. And he finally has a job, and we just have really different schedules. And then even before that, there was just a lot of issues there, and we weren't sleeping together very much.
Yeah, maybe it's time for you guys to break up.
Well, we're actually, you're going to love this, we're living together.
We moved. I know.
We figured that. We figured
that. This is never going to work. Why don't you break up? You're 19. How old is he?
You're going to love this, too. 24.
24? That's all right. How long have you guys been together?
We've been together for about a year now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's time.
He's not meant. He's not the one for you.
It's not working. You're forcing it. It's not working. Anyway, usually the three pills, yes, it would cause nausea, but it's usually right around the time you take them. This is now 2 days later. Your regular period, you can expect that for a while, and you could get pregnant during this cycle. You definitely want to wait until you start your next cycle of pills before you have sex.
All right. Again, let's...
And the nausea now, 3 days later, makes me worry that it is pregnancy, but you say you're not having sex.
John, who's 25, you've been on hold for 57 minutes. What's up? You want to date a girl pal who used to date your buddy?
Yeah, they're both my friends. And
yeah. You know, does she like you?
Yeah, I believe so.
Why did she used to date your buddy? Did he drop her, or did she drop him?
He dropped her recently. She moved to another... They live in, like, 2 hours away from each other.
Okay. And well, listen, if he dropped her, then it's okay. If she broke his heart, it's not okay.
Okay.
As far as your buddy goes.
He dropped her.
Here's what I'm saying. She's not into John anyway.
Though.
I know, but let's use me and Ben and Nikki Cox as an example.
All right.
If I was dating Nikki Cox and very much in love with Nikki Cox, as of course any sane man would be, and she dumped me, as any sane girl would, and Ben started seeing, and Ben and I were maybe even closer than we are now, which I don't think is even hypothetically possible, but let's say we were just somehow sewed together and our organs, major arteries were fused together, and we actually needed each other's blood to live, which is the only way we could get closer. But the point is I would be angry at him if Nikki dumped me and I was heartbroken over her. If I dumped Nikki and decided to move on.
You might be relieved if Ben swooped in.
I would be relieved.
Yeah, doing
and
favor.
Actually, it would mean I was gay if I dumped Nikki Cox. So.
Of course. Well,
where are you going?
You'd certainly be insane.
I mean, insane and insane.
Yeah, you'd probably be dumping Nikki for Ben, and that could create a problem.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. But the point is it makes a big difference who dropped who in any of these scenarios. And yes, I'm not so sure she's in love with John either. I know Drew's suspicions on that, and he's right about that, just like he's right about junkies.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a quick break. Ben Stein's going. He's tired. He's bored. He's got
not
a book.
Bored at all.
He's miserable.
Late. It's late for him.
It's late for Ben. Ben, God bless you. Come back anytime.
This was very, very, very interesting and incredibly funny. I don't think I've ever heard a funnier conversation than your conversation with the woman whose husband's in prison.
Thank you. I'll plug the book while you're on the road. We'll be back after this. That's it. Marilyn Manson coming in tomorrow night. Sarah Silverman Thursday. I want to thank Ben Stein. How to Ruin Your Love Life. Name of the book. And just a little piece of business to take care of. Ben, if you're in the car and you're listening, you wanted an answer, Tex Watson, former Manson family member and killer, incarcerated for life, has had four kids.
Four in prison.
All in the joint. Four kids. Yeah. That's your taxpayers' money. Hard at work.
Good time.
ACLU homos. Well, keep it up.
One of the other women that was
thank
in
you.
The,
oh. Drew, your mic's not on. Oh. All right. Ted Bundy has at least one kid from In the Joint and sweet dreams. So until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew. Same mahalo.
Well, actually, I did it there in the prison, in the visiting room.
Had sex with him.
No. Well, yeah. No.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.